door, Cecilia moved into the members' booth for an ID check. The others, with staff IDs, went through without incident. Cecilia came out of the booth and found them waiting. She felt weak at the knees. She had been alone so long, and then with a few friends. And now, to face that crowd. She had always hated public speaking. She felt the others close in.
All right, m'lady?
All right. I'm fine. The line they were in snaked slowly forward. She could see in the door at last. It had been decades since she'd attended a grand council. When she'd been a young woman, first eligible for a chair, it had been a thrill, later a bore. Later, something she delegated to a proxy without a second thought. Now that earlier awe struck her again. That tall dome spangled with stars, those dark, polished tables, each with its chairs of red leather, all symbols of power that had kept her safe and wealthy all these years, and then had nearly killed her. Across the chamber, as she came to the door, she saw the king on his throne. He stared out, seeming to see no one. Her family table had moved since the last time she'd attended. Tables were drawn by lot every other council. Now it was midway down the right side of the left aisle, almost directly across from the speaker's table. A page led them to it and checked Cecilia's ID again before handing her to her chair. The chair itself required her to insert her member card. With the card in place, the screen before her lit. Only then did she look around. Her sister Berenice, two chairs down, stared at her, white-faced, then glanced at her companions and turned even whiter. Ronnie, at the foot of the table, started and then grinned happily. Gustav would be at his family's table. Cecilia had no idea where it was now.
Good to see you again.
They had not told Berenice. They had not told anyone. Berenice's shock was almost vengeance enough for her treatment of Harris.
Rejuve,
yes, just as you did. Where's Abelard?
Probably having a last drink.
Abelard, their oldest surviving brother, always came late. Ronnie looked as if he were bursting with glee and news both. Cecilia gave him a look she hoped would quell him. They already knew what he knew. Bunny had told her. She looked around. Kevil Mahoney was in his chair, with George beside him. Bunny, his brothers, and his sons were already seated. Brunn, a year too young for her own chair, crouched beside her mother at another table. She was scanning the chamber, looking, and she saw Cecilia. A grin spread over her face. Cecilia gave a little nod. Now to find Lorenza. The crown ministers sat together at two tables to either side of the throne. But when she found Piercy, leaning back to hand a file to a page, she did not see Lorenza's gold head anywhere near. She let her eyes rove the chamber, but it was Mahari who spotted her. A nudge. Cecilia leaned over.
Top tier, near the right aisle.
Cecilia turned casually.
Yes.
The ice-blue raincoat had been slung carelessly over the back of a neighboring chair, unlike the precise Lorenza. But there she was, leaning over to talk to someone else Cecilia couldn't see.
Whose family is that? Not Lorenza's, certainly. Lorenza's mother was a Sturinskopf, and her aunt Lucrezia should be heading that table.
So she was, an upright old tyrant in black lace whom no amount of rejuvenation could soften.
Maybe it runs in the family.
So why was Lorenza back with the Buckley Van Dormers? True, people sometimes got permission to sit in other chairs, if they had physical problems, if they planned to leave early.
Ah, let her leave. Let her try to escape. It won't do her any good.
A few last members came scurrying in, swiping at their wet clothes. The king picked up the gavel. Grand Council was about to begin. The king had not recognized Lady Cecilia in the lithe redhead who stalked down the aisle as if she owned it. Not until she sat at that table, in that chair. Not until her name lit on his screen of members present. Then, as if his vision had suddenly cleared, he recognized Harris Serrano with her. Where was the prince? Panic gripped him suddenly. Icy sweat broke out all over him. He felt himself trembling. If the prince were alive, she would have brought him. The conclusion was inescapable.
Dead.
He could see, as if part of his brain had turned into a tiny view screen, the concatenation of errors that had led him to this place. One after another, he had done the convenient thing, the expedient thing. He had let himself be led from one folly to the next. Jared's assassination, Nodril's duel, Gerald's drugs, the clones, the secrets and counter-secrets, the lies and evasions. He had lost his power. He had lost his sons. Worst of all, he had lost the respect of those two women and everyone like them, all the decent men and women in the realm. His former allies would certainly disown him and his policies now, even as they scrambled to save their influence. He had thought Cecilia immature, with her strong enthusiasms, her blunt honesty. Now that immaturity seemed far wiser than the sly counsels he'd convinced himself represented maturity. He wanted to break into tears. He wanted to throw his gavel down and leave. Tears would not help. He had nowhere to go. If Gerald had come back, he might have stood against the question already before the meeting, but no longer. He knew what he had to do. Lorenza could not shake the uneasiness that had become her constant companion. That stupid goon on Rockhouse Major had attacked the wrong girl and thereby raised suspicion. No one had seen Thornbuckle's daughter. No one had seen Lady Cecilia. Berenice had complained that Ronnie was spending all his time with his regiment. He had run out on the opera party over some ridiculous little chit of a girl, and now he never came home. She knew that George, too, had not been home for weeks. The men she hired could not locate them anywhere. Piercy had come home with vague stories of great unrest here and there. The Benignity was upset, Athar's world. She had tried to listen, but all she could think of was Lady Cecilia. Lady Cecilia awake, alert, able to walk and see and speak. Worst of all, Lady Cecilia able to remember. She wasn't supposed to be able to remember, but then she wasn't supposed to be able to achieve legal competency either. Lorenza found herself seeing Lady Cecilia everywhere when she went out.
It's just nerves. If she comes, then she comes. And then, kill her.
She'd begun carrying a weapon, a tiny thing that fired darts tipped with poison. Yet no sign of Lady Cecilia, the real Lady Cecilia, showed up before the Grand Council meeting. One informant tried to tell her that Lady Cecilia's yacht had come into Rockhouse Minor, but the database had an entirely different listing, and a more reliable source on Rockhouse Major reported a conversation between Arash Levadi and another RSS officer, one known to be hostile to Serrano. She had that recording.
It could be that Lady Cecilia's afraid to come. She and that renegade captain have gone off together somewhere.
She didn't believe that for a moment. She had dressed that morning as if for her last appearance. She had her jewel case hidden in her raincoat. She had her pearls under her dress. If she had to flee, if she couldn't use her credit cubes, she would have something. For a moment, just after getting out of the limousine, she had been sure Cecilia was near. She had looked around at the little clumps of people who wished they were rich enough to be Familius, to have chairs and votes. In the rain, it was hard to tell. One tall woman with red hair reminded her of Cecilia, but she was 40 years younger, at least. And she was prettier than Cecilia had ever been. Lorenza took precautions anyway. She would sit with the Buckley Van Dormers, to whom she was distantly related, claiming an upset stomach. She could leave quickly if she had to. She had a reservation on the noon shuttle to Rockhouse Major under another name, and she knew the number to call when she got there. They owed her plenty of favors. Even with all her caution, she did not see Lady Cecilia until the king struck for order with his gavel. Her eyes checked the tables,